Mike Van Acker on ABC Radio Brisbane.
As Brisbane has grown over the decades, from time to time decisions have been made, all in the name of progress, and sometimes weird things happen. I remember I grew up in Tarragindi, and I remember when a road called Ekeban Road East was just cut off. They just cut it off because they were building a thing called the Southeast Freeway. And Ekeban Road East, as we speak, still exists for about 200 metres, and there's a scout hall down there, but at one point it was a thoroughfare through to Greenslopes. Times change, and the streets and the landscape changes with it. But it's pretty rare for an entire suburb to be resumed. But that's what happened starting in 1970 when the resumption of a Brisbane suburb known as Crib Island began. Over a decade or so, the entire suburb was resumed to allow for an expansion to the airport. Now, John McDonald is my guest in the studio today. John, of course, runs the Lost Brisbane Facebook page, which is, you know what, fascinating. And it's lovely to have you in the studio, John. We've only spoken on the phone in the past. Hello.
Nice to meet you, Mike, and great to be here again.
Excellent. Now, mate, what can you tell us about Crib Island?
Well, Crib Island dates back to about 1885, in fact, when a man called John George Crib purchased some land down in between the mouth of the Brisbane River and the mouth of Kedron Brook. And at that time, it was basically just swampland. And he purchased that 150 acres from the government and sold 65 of those acres to a man called James Jackson for the purpose of growing bananas. The area became known as Jackson's Estate, and the land that wasn't being used by Jackson was leased out for livestock farmers. But over time, it began to grow as a suburb.
And so, John, can I jump in? It's not actually an island.
It is at high tide.
Okay.
Because it's in swampland, yep. There is a section called Jackson's Creek, mm-hmm. which at high tide isolates the area that we knew as Crib Island from the mainland just by a thin strip of water.
Okay.
So there was only one road in and one road out. There was, and that was on logs floating on top of the mudflats. So it wasn't until, let me just check this here, 1914, that they built a substantial road to Crib Island so that normal vehicles could travel along.
Well, so 30 or 40 years of its existence, people living out that way or were just doing their best?
Well, they would be cut off at high tide, yeah. When the tide came in, the road would be covered.
Okay. How big was Crib Island?
Crib Island probably stretched for a distance of probably 2 or 3 kilometres along north of the mouth of the Brisbane River, up to the Nudgee Creek area.
Okay. I'm trying to get a sense of it. Did you access it through, what would that be, through, wouldn't be Pinkenba, would it?
No, it wasn't. It was via Nudgee Road. So you would travel along Nudgee Road to the point where, at this present point in time, it just crosses over the gateway.
The gateway, that way.
Motorway.
Yeah, yeah.
And just after you cross over Nudgee Road, you have got the
golf course,
on the right, and just beyond the golf course is the road that used to go down to Crib Island.
Right, so it's almost Nudgee Beach area.
It was. It was called Lower Nudgee. There was Nudgee Beach, then Lower Nudgee, and then as you got closer to the river, it became Crib Island.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yep.
Okay, I know where we're talking about now. Okay, so it was originally, it was grazing land.
Yes.
It was banana farming?
Banana farming, yes.
Okay, and what happened then?
Well, people started, around about the 1830s, people started to consider it to be a bit of a holiday resort. People would go there for their holidays, a seaside resort, because it was close to Brisbane.
Right.
And people that couldn't travel far, because we're still talking at a time when there was no bridge to Redcliffe. So,
of course.
The closest beach to Brisbane City itself would have been Crib Island. And so people started building holiday homes there. And, using it as a seaside resort.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So, and then that it slowly became, so it was a residential area because I see it had a school.
It did have a school.
It had a movie theatre.
It did have a movie theatre. We can't talk about Crib Island, I suppose, without talking about the Gibb brothers.
Well, as I said in the introduction before, that, picture a shop with three little boys sitting out the front. One of them's got a guitar, they're singing. They became the Bee Gees.
That's correct, yes. The Bee Gees lived there from about 1960 to about 1963. I just by strange coincidence, when Barry was a teenager, he had a girlfriend who contacted me on Facebook
And
told me all about the story of them living at Crib Island. And Barry actually went to Crib Island State School and graduated from there in 1961. From grade 7, and shortly after that, they moved to Nudgee Road at Northgate, and Morris and Robin went on to Northgate School after that.
Wow.
So, yeah, the Bee Gees are fairly well known as, you know, the icons from Crib Island.
From Crib Island?
Yes.
See, in my mind, it's Redcliffe, and obviously now I know Crib Island.
In actual fact, Redcliffe was the first place that the Bee Gees settled when they came to Australia.
Okay.
But they were only there for about 6 months. And then they moved to Crib Island. And they were at Crib Island for about three years. Yeah. Redcliffe was their first home in Australia. Crib Island was the longest home that they had in Brisbane.
Right.
It was at Crib Island, yes.
Well, I don't think a lot of people would know that. I think a lot of people would assume they lived in Redcliffe for a long time.
Well, I'll throw in a bit of trivia here.
Go ahead.
The Redcliffe connection with the Bee Gees is not the Gibb brothers, but it's Colin Peterson.
Okay.
Now, Colin Peterson was a member of the Bee Gees in the beginning for a few years. I think he was the drummer.
Right.
I'm pretty sure he was the drummer. He actually was born and bred in Redcliffe.
Okay.
And still comes to Redcliffe quite often. Now, Colin Peterson, people may not know this, was the actor in the movie Smiley in the 1950s.
Oh, yes.
So I don't know if many people remember the movie Smiley, but Colin Peterson was the Redcliffe connection with the Bee Gees, more so than the Bee Gees themselves.
Well, I didn't know that either. So eventually they went, okay, this is all well and good, but we need a bigger airport.
We did need a bigger airport. And in 1970, the government started to resume the houses at Crib Island.
Okay.
I remember driving down there as a teenager to Crib Island just to see what it was like. And by the mid-1970s, it had degenerated a lot. A lot of the houses were slipping into the sea. They were using tyres to reinforce the shoreline because the shoreline was eroding. Mm. And it wasn't a pretty place at that time. To go down there and just see the beach littered with old tyres and the smell from the old tyres because the water would rest in the tyres and then it would stagnate.
Yes.
And the smell that came from it wasn't pleasant.
Okay.
Many of the houses were dilapidated and falling down. And eventually the last person to move out was in 1980 22nd of September 1986 was the last resident to move out.
Did people fight the resumption? Were anyone unhappy about it?
There were people that had lived there all their lives that simply didn't want to leave.
Sure.
And you know, it just got to a stage where they had no option. They just had to leave because the airport was going in.
Yeah.
As simple as that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you can't really fight progress, can you? I mean, you can try, but... And if it sounds like if it was unstable length, I did see, when I was having a bit of a read-up on Crib Island, I did see that one of the residents said that her dad used to spend his weekend shoveling sand back up against the wall because it's getting eroded away.
That's correct,
in front of
his
fence line, so...
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Well, that's fascinating. Tell us about the Lost Brisbane Facebook page.
Well, you can find it just by Googling Lost Brisbane. You go into the Lost Brisbane Facebook page, anybody can contribute photos to it, anybody can comment on it, provided it's relevant to the topic that's being discussed. And it's got over 112,000 followers now, so it's quite popular.
Fantastic. All right, John McDonald from the Lost Brisbane Facebook page. Let's talk again sometime soon.
We shall do. Thanks for having me.
On your radio and online.
At home or on the road.
This is ABC Radio.